up, Pels fans, and welcome to part one of our Southwest Division preview. I'm your host, Preston Ells, and today we are talking with Mark King of Grizzly Bear Blues. What's up, Mark?
How's it going, man? Thanks for having me.
Dude, thank you so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it. This is something really cool that I want to do for our listeners, and I'm so thrilled to have you because for those listening, Mark is a coordinating producer in sports TV, and he's the video content producer for both SB Nation NBA as well as Grizzly Bears Blues, the site dedicated to the, obviously, Memphis Grizzlies. Mark also hosts the 3&D podcast dedicated to these same Grizzlies. That is a great title, Mark. Well done. You can also follow him at King_producer. Mark, did I miss anything?
No, you got it all. I know it's a lot, but you got it all.
Yeah, you sound like a busy guy. So thank you so much for taking the time. Again, let's get right to it. Let's get to your Grizzlies. They finished 43-39 last season, good enough for the seventh seed, and tied the Spurs 2-2 in the first round of the playoffs before losing 4-2. What is your take on last season's performance, and what is the mood in Memphis right now?
I think people probably in Memphis are probably largely disappointed in the season for last year. But I also think that a lot of those same people don't understand, or they take for granted the amount of times the Grizzlies have made the playoffs in the Western Conference. And just making the playoffs in the Western Conference is a huge feat in and of itself. And so a lot of those people are forget that before they started making the playoffs, there was a long, hard road of once the season ends, everybody else is having fun and you're just sitting there. So I think it was okay. I think it went well. I think it was probably a successful season. Anytime you make the playoffs in the Western Conference, I consider that a success. So, and there's nothing really like a playoff game in the FedEx Forum. It's super fun. Those first games, those games at home, where even though they were lost, they were really, really good. So I thought it was a largely well-received season for the most part.
And you guys have, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but you guys have been in the playoffs much of the past 8 years, which is famously known as the grit and grind era. But now you guys just keep finding ways to weasel your way into the playoffs, no matter what people say about your team. It's not the sexiest team. It's just a hardworking group of guys like Tony Allen and Zach Randolph, these guys who have been there for 8 and 6 years, respectively. Talk a bit about those losses, how it might change the culture of the team, and what you're expecting from newbies like Tyreke Evans and Ben McLemore. Before I let you do that, just for our listeners, Ben McLemore tore his or broke his fifth metatarsal, which is the same injury as rookie Frank Jackson, so he could miss up to 12 weeks. Sorry. Go ahead, Mark.
No. You know, Zach Randolph and Tony Allen, those were the guys that were, like you said, the grit and grind era. Those were the guys that would play the bully ball, as we kind of throw it around. And so losing those guys, it hurts. It's going to be very different. It's going to be a very different looking team. You know, Zach left. He got $24 million from the Kings. And I think Zach's leaving and Tony leaving were two very different things. Zach leaving, I think it was more of a financial situation where the Grizzlies just weren't in a situation to put in that much money to an aging power forward. I mean, Zach could still play. He showed last year he could still put the ball in the basket. And so I think if the money were a little bit different, I think he might be back on this team, but it just unfortunately wasn't. As far as Tony's concerned, he was different because, he's out here signing for vet minimum. I mean, the Grizzlies, it's not that they didn't try to keep him. They didn't want to keep him. It was a decision where they wanted to move on from Tony Allen into a different and move to more players like Tyreke Evans and Ben McLemore. So they wanted to have a very different looking team. The front office did, much to a lot of fans. You know, like I said, there are a lot of fans in Memphis that have grown up and they only know Tony Allen. They only know Zach Randolph. People that were 10, 11 when they first started really enjoying basketball, and now they're in their late teens and early 20s. And these people, all they know is Tony Allen and Zach Randolph. So it's a big thing for those guys to leave the Grizzlies. As far as the newcomers are concerned, I'm not really excited about Ben McLemore. I think that especially after where the money signed for, after the market kind of flattened out, and free agency was signed really early, after the market kind of flattened out, there was a lot of people that signed for a lot less money that are a lot better ball players than he is. And so then you have someone like Tyreke Evans, who I think can really, really help in the changing of that dynamic of having someone coming in the second unit and really score the basketball. That's really what the Grizzlies struggled with last year. Is once that second unit came in, the offense just was non-existent. And so having someone like that will really help in the second unit.
I want to ask you a bit more about Tony Allen. You said that the Grizzlies basically had the opportunity to bring him back, but elected not to. They just want him to move on. Should Pelicans fans be concerned by this? He's 35, but he still finished second All-NBA defensive team last season. Talk a bit about his game, why you think the Grizzlies chose to move on, and what he could potentially bring to New Orleans.
Tony Allen is an enigma. He is, be ready to be frustrated. Frustrated and happy all in a matter of two possessions. He is an aging shooting guard that can't shoot and seems to have been hurt the last 3 years going into the postseason and didn't really play in the playoffs. And so I think that's largely why the Grizzlies decided that they wanted to move on, was the fact that you have a guy who's playing a position who is a specialist, but not a shooting specialist. He's a specialist in a very, very unique way, especially in this landscape of the NBA. And so there's this guy that doesn't really do a whole lot of things, but then he's going out there and he's creating havoc. He's just making extra possessions out of nothing. And so they decided that, you know, having someone else in that position who could probably contribute more to the offensive end was more what they wanted. But Tony Allen is still a good player. He is still good for what he is. He will be able to be out there as long as you surround him with players, you know, that are they can put the ball in the basket. And you have DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday, and those guys can put the ball in the bucket. If you put him out there with the starting lineup, and he's just your wing, and he's just out there to make people angry and poke the ball loose and get defensive stops, that is where he succeeds. That is where he excels. So I think it's a really good fit for the Pelicans, honestly. I think as long as he can stay healthy, and that's always a caveat that's been with him for the past couple of years, is he has to be able to stay healthy. And so, you know, he is an aging guy, and father time has caught up with him very quickly. And so, I would expect him to miss games this year. He'll have several injuries, but you hope that he is available at the right time when you need him going down the stretch and later in the year.
Now, with Zach Randolph's departure, the Grizzlies will probably be expecting a lot of second-year, four-year, $95 million man Chandler Parsons. And also, you guys have a pretty important restricted free agent, Jamichael Green, who, by my accounts, has not been re-signed as of yet. What can Pelicans fans expect to see from these two? Will they both be playing, and what are you expecting from them this season?
Chandler Parsons is something we talked about. Joe and I have on our 3&D podcast have gotten an argument already on one episode, and I'm sure we'll get in more arguments about Chandler Parsons. But, you know, going back to when the Grizzlies signed Chandler Parsons, and, you know, he was the best available person in the small forward category or the wing category that was available as that free agent that year. And so the Grizzlies did what any other team would do, and they went out and got the best available talent. Same with Portland, and I know there were other teams interested as well. So it's hard to go back and say you shouldn't have done that when we didn't know what was going to happen in the first place. The injuries are obviously, it happens. It's not great, but it's what it is. From all accounts, though, he's supposed to be healthy. So for us, I think as long as you have someone who can come out and stretch the floor and shoot the three ball reasonably well with Mark and Mike out there, that is really what you look for. And so I think around the 12 to 13 points a game range would be great for him. And so I know that's not a lot for a guy who's making max money, but that is where that's where we are with Chandler Parsons, though. I mean, we know he's not been healthy. He's been having so many problems. So as long as you can come out and just get, a 12, 13, 14 points a game, that helps out the offense a lot. And so, you know, hopefully he can do that. Hopefully he won't be bogged down by injuries again. Obviously, this is all – we just don't know. There's just so much of the unknown. He only played in, I think, 36 games last year. It was just very all over the place. So hopefully for him, he can turn it around. And with Jamichael Green, it's kind of a weird situation. The last thing that I heard was that JaMychal Green wanted 2 years, Grizzlies wanted 3 years, and they were stuck on years. I don't know if it was about the number of just more of it was. They wanted Grizzlies kind of wanted him more long term, and JaMychal's 27 or 28, I believe. And so, you know, what happened with him is the free agency market also really just wasn't there for younger power forwards, kind of fringe starters like him. And there was just no market out there for them this year. And the market really fell out, just kind of really fell out from underneath him. And so once that happened, I think it was a point to where now he knew that that big contract he was expecting, that, you know, 3-4 year deal or of $12-13 million a year that he really wanted, was not going to happen. And so once that kind of became a real situation, then he wants to go back and say, well, I only want 2 years because once I get to be 30, I also have more of my prime years left. I can try to get that big contract then. So he's still kind of betting on himself going for 2 years or less money that he can get that bigger payday. Because JaMychal Green is someone who's never had a big contract. He's only, I know he's 27, but he's never had a big contract. He only made less than $1 million last year with the Grizzlies. And before that, he was in the D League. So, I mean, this is a guy who's played a lot of basketball and has never been really, really paid. So he's betting on himself. The contract is still unresolved as we're talking now. My guess is it probably lingers in a training camp.
Do you think he signs the qualifying offer a la Nerlens Noel?
You know, that I actually said this about I think 3 weeks after free agency started, and people thought I was a crazy person on Twitter, but it is an option. I think that is a real option for him. If he can't get the years he wants from the Grizzlies, if they can't, you know, if he wants two and they won't give him two, I think that's a real option for him to sign the qualifying offer. I mean, he's got an agent that's not very good at his job. I mean, his agent has like JaMychal Green and a couple of G League players, and that's it. And his agent has done him not a whole lot of service and leaking a lot of comments in the media and stuff like that here at Memphis. And so, you know, if he really, really wants to bet on himself, if JaMychal Green thinks that he is going to be better a year from now or 2 years from now, I think the qualifying offer looks to him like a realistic option. For me, I think it's a bad idea. I think he should go ahead and get what he can get. You know, even if that's $5-6 million a year, even that low, take the 3 years. And then bet on yourself from there.
Now, David Fizdale, let's talk coaching a bit. He got a lot of national attention during game two of the playoffs for referring to the Spurs and or the refs as they're not going to rook us, and slamming the table and declaring, take that for data. Talk a bit about Fizdale, his coaching style, and his overall impression in Memphis right now.
I like Fizdale. I think for the most part, people really like Fizdale. He's very active in the community here in Memphis. He is very much implanted himself in the city and has, you know, referred to it as his city. He stayed here in the offseason, didn't go back to Miami. He lives here, I mean, full time now. So he is very much a part of the Grizzlies organization from the city, from the coaching. But, you know, he's a good coach too. I think that a lot of times he struggles with lineup. But you see a lot of that in really young coaches and new head coaches. But he struggles a lot with lineups. He struggles a lot to know when to kind of take guys out, rest guys, or when he should put guys in. And so that was his biggest, I would say, downfall or problem last year, is kind of realizing when to ride guys or when to take them out, rest them, or what lineups work the best together. I mean, we could all see from the media, just as we know who's playing well. And then, you know, some people would get run and, you know, it would just be really weird. But for the most part, I think he's a really good coach. And I think he's going to do well going forward. As far as the take that for data thing, that was a big thing. I mean, nationally, just because I think it's for the fans and for the players too, it goes a long way for when a coach takes the player, you know, has the players back. When everybody and the fans are going, oh, man, that was a terrible, terribly ref game. And for that game he's referring to, it was a bad, badly ref game. And so when everybody on Twitter sees it, when everybody in the media sees it, all the fans see it, and you know, the players definitely can understand it. They're getting frustrated visibly on the court. And then you have a coach that goes and does it, kind of stands up for his city, for his team, for his fans, and say, hey, I'm not going to let this slide. That goes a long way for the fans. I think that catapulted him to being a coach anybody liked, to a coach that everybody rooted for.
Yeah, it definitely was a breakout performance, you could say. Not just that, but you guys went back into Memphis the next game and won the next two games at home as a seven seed against a Spurs team by all opinions could have taken Golden State to the wire. So a bit of a breakout from him and a really fun quote. You spoke a little bit about his lineups and his tendency to throw some stuff around that can be a bit unpredictable. And you've also got a lot of young players like Dylan Brooks, Deontay Davis, James Ennis, Aaron Harrison, and Wade Baldwin. What are you expecting from the young guys this season, and how much will they have to contribute to get you guys back to the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of for right now, the Grizzlies have a lot of players, period. I think they have like 20 on the roster, which is way too many as it stands. So there's a lot of guys, you know, a lot of the names you mentioned that may not even make the team. They may not even be on the team opening night. And so they're going to have to cut 3 to 4 guys before they can play a game. And so there are a lot of these guys that you know, are very on the fringe of making the team. And so people like, you know, Sherrell Martin, I don't expect to be on the team opening night. Dylan Brooks, I think he'll be there. I'm not sure if he'll do anything. I think he'll spend some time in the G League as a call-up, not as a 2A, but as a call-up. James Ennis, I think, will have a role in the with the Grizzlies organization. I'm not sure what the role will be. Harrison, still yet to be determined. As for right now, I think as everything's considered, he'll be the backup point guard. So I think he'll have largely the same role he had last year. And I think it's because a lot of that Andrew Harrison's role stems from the trust that he already has from David Fizdale. And so he spent a year growing through him. Sometimes he was terrible, sometimes he was okay. Every once in a while, he was good. And so, you know, it's just kind of like, we've already done this before. Let's just let him keep doing what he's doing. And I think that's probably the only reason he has the backup point guard position kind of sealed up. And so that will determine how they play Tyreke. I know people want to see Tyreke as a point guard, but he's not a point guard. Never played point guard. Largely in a huge number since he's been in the league. So that will really depend on. And then Wade Baldwin, again, is a person I'm not sure he's going to be on the roster opening night. So if he is, he'll spend a lot of time in the G League just like he did last year. He is not ready, by all accounts, to play in the NBA. Neither is Deontay Davis. He is too afraid to shoot the ball. And that's unfortunate because I think Deontay Davis has a skill set that can translate to the NBA. But I'm not sure if he gets the opportunity this year. The other person you didn't mention, which is probably the most, I would say the young guy's probably going to get the most run and most chances, is Wayne Seldon, a guy that we signed and was really, really good in summer league. And for him, with Ben McLemore's injury, I think Ben McLemore probably won't be back until 1st of November. And so you're going to have a couple weeks there in the season for players like Wayne Seldon and James Ennis to really show this Grizzlies team and this coaching staff if they have the tools to make it, if they have the ability to make it. And this is a guy, Wayne Seldon, when Tony Allen got hurt last year in the playoffs, he had to go in and guard Kawhi Leonard and did an okay job. I mean, he wasn't great, but it's Kawhi Leonard, first of all, and he was a rookie. I mean, like, this is a guy that did an okay job. And so I think Wayne Seldon is the guy in the Grizzlies organization that probably stands the most to gain from Ben McLemore's injury and just getting time overall.
As you probably know, the Pelicans had Wayne Seldon last year. They had him on a second 10-day contract before they let him roam free. And he played, I believe he started all 6 games in the playoffs last year for the Grizzlies. Is he someone the Pelicans are going to regret letting go?
You know, I hope so. I really do. We've had our fair share of those. We've cut. The guy's name, Williams, who went to the Rockets. So we cut last year for Tony Douglas, and then went and signed a contract with the Rockets and played in every playoff game for the Rockets. And so Troy Williams, that's what I'm talking about. So the Grizzlies have done that probably too many times to count. But I do think Wayne Seldon. I was at Summer League this year. I got to watch him in person every game. And so I think that he has all the tools to make it in the NBA. I think he's an above-average three-point shooter. He's a really good defender. He's got the size, got the length. And so I think he is probably the youngest person on the Grizzlies that stands to have the most impact.
Thank you so much for your time again, Mark. Before we preview the opening night matchup against the Pels, I just want to ask you quickly about your two stars. Mike Conley, who averaged 21-6 last year on 46% shooting. He was the most expensive man in the NBA for 1 year at least. And Marc Gasol, who at 32 still finished with 26-5. Talk about their performances last season and what you're expecting from them in 2017-18.
You know, for Mike, I think Mike is the one player that benefited the most from David Fizdale becoming the head coach of the Grizzlies. The best thing that ever happened to Mike Conley was David Fizdale. And so he went last year and elevated his game even more than he already had. And he's already been the player that most people not overlooked, but, you know, when you talk about point guards, there are probably 8 or 9 that you talk about before you get to Mike. And Mike's a top 10 point guard in the league. He's a really good player. He's starting the ball even better than he had ever done from 3-point last year. And so I think for him, I think he will take another step. I think he will move into the 22-23 point a game playing this year. I think he stands the most to benefit from David Fizdale being on the Grizzlies. It remains to be seen, again, those guys around Mike that he's passing the ball to, i.e. Tyreke Evans and then McLemore and Wayne Selden, all these people who, you know, will be the guys shooting off of Mike's passes if his assist numbers will go up or stay the same. And so, but I do anticipate his scoring to go up. I anticipate it to be even better this year. I think he'll continue to shoot the ball well from three. And so I expect a lot of bigger things from Mike. Especially now that Zebo is gone, there's a lot of points that you have to replace. And Tony, not so much, but Zebo was scoring 17 points a game last year. So it wasn't by, you know, wasn't like he was only scoring 9 points. It's not a lot to replace. So Michael has to step up even more. As far as Mark's concerned, I think that people always want Mark to be this guy that he isn't. People always want him to be this aggressive center and just shoot the ball like crazy, but he's just not going to do that. He's never been like that before. He's never consistently done that in any year leading up to this. So I don't think he's going to do it now. And so that's not what we should expect from Mark. But Coach David Fizdale did have him stepping out to 3-point range. He's done that in EuroLeague as well. That's something he continued to work on and become a legitimate 3-point threat, even more so than it was last year. So Mark will continue to be the same. I think he'll continue to be that guy. I think you would always want him to do better on rebounding. It's not one of his strong suits because he plays from the elbow a lot. But that's one of the guys that you need. You need him to get better, especially from the outside and stretch the defense more. And so Mark is really kind of remains to be seen. I think people with the proper expectations won't be disappointed. Because people, when they go into the season, think Mark should be this guy that shoots all the time. And frankly, he should, but that's just not his personality. Has never been like that, and I don't think will ever be like that.
Pelicans fans will remember favorably the last matchup with the Grizzlies. It was at the Smoothie King Center on March 17th when Boogie had, by all accounts, his best game. He scored 41, shot 5 threes, 17 rebounds. We won 95-82, and he had his famous quote during the presser thanking the referees because he had been getting it's an opinion-based thing, but a bad string of calls from officials in previous games. So that was one where he finally did reach the foul line into the double digits. We've got 4 matchups with them this year. We start the season on October 18th, against the Grizzlies in New Orleans, I believe. And then we have January 10th, January 20th, and April 4th. Talk a little bit about this matchup from the Grizzlies' perspective, and then just finish up by how do you think the Grizzlies finish this season?
So this is a really interesting matchup, especially historically, DeMarcus Cousins hates playing Marc Gasol. DeMarcus Cousins has always been visibly frustrated with Mark when he plays him. It's just the style of play that Mark plays. It's very physical, especially under the basket, and that is historically frustrated DeMarcus. I don't know if it's more so than other teams, but, you know, just from that, you know, looking from the Grizzlies' point, he's always had trouble with Mark. Obviously, you mentioned the last game, and that was probably, I think that's his best game he's ever had against the Grizzlies. But like you mentioned, he also got a lot of the calls. And so with the Grizzlies, the way they come out and the way they start playing is different than most teams. The way they start playing is very physical from the first whistle. And so they kind of set the bar for the refs. They're just so physical from the starting point all the way to the end point. That's just how they play, or they played in the years past, that it's very hard for the refs to, once they start and let all those things go and kind of let the Grizzlies set the tempo and set the bar of how physical they're going to be. Then the refs have to go back in, and then it has to be really something like just crazy for them to call a foul. And so a lot of times DeMarcus has gotten really frustrated by that, committed technical fouls, which he does in not just the Grizzlies games, but most games. So that'll be interesting to see, is how well he matches up with Mark. Again, history has shown us he doesn't play well against Mark. And so that leaves you go to Anthony Davis, and who will really stop Anthony Davis. And so you're not really going to stop either one of those guys. You can only hope to limit them. And so you have someone like Jermichael Green, which I'm not sure he can do a good job of that. I'm not sure that he's going to be able to get Anthony Davis off the boards enough to where he's not getting offensive rebounds. And so I think that's going to be the biggest test. I mean, you have those two guys in the front court that are both so good, and you only have one Marc Gasol, and that's kind of the problem. And Anthony Davis gets the better of Marc Gasol every time down the court that they're playing against each other. And so then you look at the guards, and you have you have Mike and you have Drew Holiday. I think that's a really good matchup too. So I think it's really going to come down to the cut of those wings and the twos playing the two and the three. And for the Grizzlies, you know, it's hard to envision what's going to happen in that game when we don't really know who it's going to be. You don't really even know if Tyreke's going to move to the starting lineup because of the Ben McLemore injury. I think they'd probably keep him on the bench and coming off as kind of a super sub. And, you know, that way you have points in the second unit. So that's really difficult to tell. But just, you know, as far as just, the preview of what we think the Grizzlies are going to do for their big guys, I think it's going to really come down to those two guys and slowing down Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, which it probably always will for the Pelicans because they're the two best players that you have. So I think it's going to be a good game. I personally, we did our Pick'em show on the 3&D podcast episode, the first couple episodes and of this season. And we did our Pick'em show. I think Joe and I both had the Grizzlies winning the first matchup in at home. But losing to the matchup in the Smoothie King Center. So I think we'll see the series go 2-2 this year. I think each team will win the home matchup.
Let me just ask you one more question if I can, because you mentioned Tyreke Evans as your super sub, and we kindly are going to use Tony Allen in the same instance. How is it going to feel emotionally for you when Tyreke Evans checks into the game at like the 2-minute mark in the first quarter, and you see Tony Allen sitting across from him in a Pelicans jersey coming in to thwart him, so to speak?
You know, it's definitely going to be different. Like I said, you know, there's a lot of people, including myself, that for so long, we just know Tony Allen. It's going to be a very, I don't think it's even really set in very much yet. I don't know if it's really, really set in with a lot of people until we see, Tyreke Evans come on and check in at the end of the first quarter, and then Tony Allen pop right up and go right in and set the guard him. And so it kind of sucks because I know what Tony Allen can do in frustrating players and really limiting offensive players. But, you know, I'm not sure it's really set in for myself or any others that it's going to be different. You know, it's been a lot of years that we've seen Tony Allen in a Grizzlies uniform, and to see him in another one and see Zach Randolph in another one is going to be very different. Especially with Tony Allen coming back very first game back to Memphis, it's going to be, there will probably be a lot of, not a whole lot of dry eyes in the arena.
Thank you so much for taking the time, Mark. Again, you guys can find Mark contributing to SB Nation's NBA, Grizzly Bears Blues, and hear his podcast 3&D. Again, a great title. You guys can also follow him at King_producer. And thank all of you for tuning in. This is only part one, so just continue checking back for our interview with representatives from the Spurs and the Mavericks tomorrow night, and the Rockets on Wednesday. Thank you to Ali Cassell, our editor. Make sure you go over to thebirdrights.com for all the latest on the Pels, including the latest on Dante Cunningham, breaking history, and why three-point shooting is overrated. I've been Preston Ellis. And Mark, before I send you off, plug yourself. What do you hope fans of this podcast check out going forward of your work?
Yeah, we'd love people to come over and listen to the 3&D podcast. We always do a 10 to 15-minute segment. Just NBA news for NBA fans. And then we do the last 30 to 40 minutes on the Grizzlies. We've got a bunch of really cool segments coming up this year with myself and my partner, Joe Walters. We have a lot of fun. We joke around a lot. We've got a new segment this week coming out, the funniest thing we saw this week, which has got a lot of good stuff. We got a lot of good interviews lined up throughout the year with not only people people from Memphis, but also people from every other team, kind of proving all our matchups is too. So you know, if you're a fan of another team and you're playing the Grizzlies, come over and check out the 3&D podcast. You could probably glean a little bit of information about the matchup and what you can expect from both teams.
All right. Thanks so much, Mark, for your time. We'll talk to you again, hopefully soon into the season. And for all our listeners, let's go, Pels.